Hey guys, it's Tom with Watchin' River. I actually kind of have a nervous stomach right now. Isn't that weird? This is a video I was going to put on my second channel. But as I kept thinking and praying this morning about it, and I'm putting it on this channel. Father, lead me and guide me. Because if you're not leading me and guiding me in this conversation, I'm going to mess it up. Speak through me. Speak truth. Your truth. Because that's the only truth that matters, Lord. Help me lift and encourage the body as we await. We await your miraculous rapture of the church. I say it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're going to talk today about, and I really don't even have notes. I've got a couple notes. We're going to talk about the red heifers, and we're going to talk about a brother in Christ that I love. And I'm going to have to give 1,000 disclaimers, I feel like, about Amir Sarfati, because I love the man. I really do. I love the man. I think he's a really good man of God. I think he's made mistakes, as we all have. I think sometimes he looks at issues black and white. But I love this man. And I prove it because when I'm covering news of the day, you guys hear the words Amir Sarfati every single day. And if I didn't trust him at all as a man of God, I wouldn't trust anything he had to say and I'd never quote him. Okay, that's where I'm starting with this. I really want you to understand that I have nothing against this man. I don't think he's a perfect man. I know I'm not a perfect man by far. But this is the email that started this that I woke up to. And I've seen this in the community of people watching and waiting for the pre-tribulation rapture. I have seen this over and over and it's been really building up. And that's why I wanted to address this. And I just pray that the Lord leads every second of this. Okay, I got an email and the title, the subject of the email was Worried. Hi, Tom. Thank you for reading this. I'm starting to worry that I'm watching watchmen and watchwomen just to have my ears tickled. I know that it is the season of the Lord's coming, but there are so many watchers that visit other watchers and totally negate what they say when not on their channel. I don't know who's telling the truth. I watch Amir Sarfati. I watch Tyler from Generation 2434. I watch Brother Chooch from TOL End Times. I watch you, etc. Amir says it's wrong to give to the Third Temple Fund. He says it's wrong for farmers in the U.S. to send red heifers. Amir says the sacrifice of the red heifers is fake news. I don't know. I'm confused. Should we not be hastening Jesus' return? Should we not be watching so diligently? Is it wrong that we want to go home while millions are being massacred on earth? God bless you for your time. I trust your no-nonsense opinions. Love your sister. I'm not going to say her name. So after I got that email, I was like, oh, I really don't want to do this. I don't want to address this. I open up to the latest comments that I got on one of my videos. And the latest comment was from an account called White Wolf. Could you please address that Amir Sarfati completely denies that a red heifer sacrifice is in the works? He denies the red heifers exist. He said that the newly built altar doesn't exist. He says it's all fake news. He said the rumor of the red heifers is giving Hamas more reasons to go after the Jewish people. Whose side is Amir really working for? That's the comment. All right. First, I'm going to say it again. No man is 100% right. Amir is not 100% right. Brother Tyler, Brother Chooch, myself, we're not 100% right. Our eyes are on Jesus. Jesus is perfect. Oh, can't wait to be with him. Can't wait till all this nonsense is behind us. Don't put any watchman or watchwoman on a pedestal. You know that. Don't do it. Jesus. I'm looking at the few notes I did. All right. Now I'm going to begin. I did a video over a year ago. It's actually the most watched video on this channel. There's over 300,000 views on it. It was a picture of puzzle pieces. And I was led to show you guys that everything we look at in these end times is a puzzle piece. And don't take one piece and give it more importance or less importance than another. And this morning, sorry for how sloppy this looks, but this morning I did this little graphic and I showed up a puzzle of Jesus. And then each little piece, Israel becomes a nation, wars and rumors of wars, one world monetary system, lawlessness, etc., etc., etc. What Amir is saying, and I really believe if I sat Amir down in this car and said, Amir, are we in the end times? I think he'd say yes. I think if I said to Amir, so will a third temple be built? I know he'd say yes, because there has to be a third temple built in order for the Antichrist halfway through the tribulation to enter into it and say, stop the sacrificing and worship me. So there has to be a temple built. So I know Amir would say, yeah, there will be a temple built. Now, there has to be red heifers in, or I'm going to, all right, hold on. I got something here. I got this, and I totally agree with it. Okay, this is from gotquestions.org, I think. Great site. This just explains why red heifers are needed. I have so much stuff in my mind. I'm trying, Lord, please keep me focused. To meet the requirements of the Old Testament law, a red heifer is needed to help accomplish the purification of the Israelites from uncleanness. Specifically, the ashes of a red heifer were needed because red heifer ashes were necessary for the purification rites held at the temple. Many have regarded the appearance of a red heifer today as heralding the construction of the third temple and the return of Christ. So I know if Amir was sitting in this car and I said to him, a red heifer does have to show up at some point before the temple's built for the purification of the Israelites, I think he'd say yes. I can't imagine him saying no, because this is all in the Bible. You know, when I just read that thing, it's in Numbers 19. It talks about the red heifer. I think what his problem is, and I get it, is there's been so much hype with the red heifers. There's been so much hype. There, people are naming dates. They're going to be sacrificed. People are tying it in, saying almost like the day that sacrifice, we're raptured, you know. And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep popping this up. It's a puzzle piece. It's a puzzle piece. If we were in a time period where all these other pieces weren't in play, I would say this red heifer thing is not important. We don't have the technology for the mark of the beast. We don't have a one world monetary system like on the horizon. We're not seeing an uptick in earthquakes. If I was saying all that and there was a red heifer, I'd be like, this is a nothing burger. Why are you looking at the red heifer? Right? It's when you look at all the pieces and don't take one of these pieces and say, I'm throwing this one out. I'm bending it and throwing it out, because that little puzzle piece is part of the picture. So all the stuff we're seeing in these end times are puzzle pieces. You can't take any one piece and stare at it and go, well, what is this? Give me the full picture with this one piece. You can't do it. You look at the piece like, this piece doesn't, what is this? You need all the pieces to paint the picture that we're going home soon. All right. We've seen everything we were told to look for in the last days. It's all in play now. Now, could we be wrong that these red heifers aren't the right red heifers? Anything's possible. Anything's possible. You got to remember that because the Antichrist enters into the temple halfway through, that's 3.5 years into the tribulation. They could they could have bred different heifers from these dudes, dudettes. They could have bred other ones that are about to be born. We just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But I happen to give importance to these red heifers. Oh, and I have to cover that too. Sorry. I have to give importance to these red heifers because every other puzzle piece is there. Every other puzzle piece is in play. And I just lost my train of thought of what I want to say. All right. We got to talk about this. We have to talk about this. You have to understand, because people are saying, like, why is this so important? Somebody said yesterday in the comments, like, God won't accept these red heifers. They were bred in Texas. He's not going to accept them. Listen, guys, God isn't going to accept any of the red heifers. They're trying to resurrect the old covenant. They're trying to bring back, you know, the whole talk of the third temple. We know Jesus is the last, the one and only payment for sin that matters forever. So this whole talk about red heifers isn't, when somebody said we shouldn't donate to the Temple Institute, of course we shouldn't donate to the Temple Institute. We're not, because Israel's about to make a huge mistake and start sacrificing animals again when Jesus is the Messiah who paid for everyone's sin with his blood. Animals' blood ain't going to do nothing. We all know that. The only reason so many people put importance on these red heifers is that they're excited. Because along with every other puzzle piece, all of a sudden we have red heifers and we know, wow, that temple really could be built soon. We may not even see those red heifers sacrificed. We probably won't see the temple start being built. I think we'll probably be raptured before that. But you can't look at all these. When everything is in play, the red heifers have some kind of importance because it's pointing to the fact that the third temple is coming, which means Jesus is coming soon. I can't throw the red heifer puzzle piece away, but I'm also not, just like I'm not going to build all my eschatology around earthquakes or around, a one world money system, CBDCs, or, you know, it's not, you don't take one thing and obsess over it. You obsess over Jesus because all these things are painting a picture that he's coming back. We're in the season. But when we get in the weeds of being really, 100% in on the red heifers or 100% against them, it's causing confusion. It's causing confusion in this community of people that are waiting for Jesus. And Jesus is not the author of confusion. We just keep our eyes on him. We keep our eyes on him through this time. Everything's setting up. And yeah, I would never tell anyone to donate to the Temple Institute. First of all, you're not going to rush Jesus' return. He's going to come in his perfect time. We know we're in the season. We know we're in the last days. Everything is set up. I always tell you guys, like, could the tribulation start tomorrow? Because that's what I'm looking for. Can that 7-year tribulation start very soon? Yes, it can. And we're out of here before the 7 years. So I always tell you, I'm looking up every single day because I truly, truly believe it could happen at any time now. The red heifers are just another ingredient in the rapture cake. We've watched all the ingredients come together. I told you before, and I really believe this, in regards to the puzzle pieces. I think the last puzzle piece that clicks into place is the rapture. And I really believe all the pieces are in place. And when the red heifers came along, I really thought, and you know what? Let me back up because I'm trying to cover everything that was said. The altar that people are talking about, fake altar, it was fake. Everyone shared this picture of an altar, and then it was shown it was from years ago, and it's nothing to do with. But you can't throw away when they've waited 2,000 years for perfect red heifers, and they have perfect red heifers, and you need them in order to build a temple, which I don't think, the reason I don't think we're going to see the temple being built is because I really believe the covenant that the Antichrist signs, the 7-year covenant, is going to give them permission to build the temple and sacrifice. So I think we're out of here before that temple's even built. Although some people are saying they're starting to build it off-site, panels and different things. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But they waited 2,000 years for red heifers. They have red heifers. They're perfect. Are they the exact red heifers? I don't know. Maybe the red heifer will be born in a month and will be raptured in 2 months, and then they can sacrifice the red heifer closer to the... There's time. When you understand that we know there's a temple halfway through the 7 years, there's time for these things to happen. But I find it uncanny that they found perfect red heifers. No matter how they came into existence, there's a lot of incredible stuff when you study all about those red heifers. The fact that they weren't tagged, I guess all heifers are tagged, but they weren't because of some COVID thing, the time when they were born. That's kind of wild, because if they were tagged, they would no longer be perfect and they would have been disqualified. There's a lot of amazing things about it. Do I base all my eschatology on red heifers? No, I don't. It's just another puzzle piece. I know I'm hammering this, but I'm trying to encourage you that don't put all your trust in any watchman, myself included. Put your trust in Jesus. Read the Word of God every day. Ask for discernment. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. You know, I give Brother Amir a lot of grace because, first of all, he's a very smart man. He's done some things that I'm not for, you know. Some things that we really can't talk about here or else I'll get censored. But I really love that brother. And I look at where he is. He is in Israel. His family's in Israel. And they're surrounded by a lot of enemies. And I think I would have a different take on things probably if I felt every day like my family was threatened, you know. So I give him a lot of grace. And I don't always agree with him, but I would never say he's a false prophet. I can't mention anyone. You know, I didn't even like mentioning him, but he made a video yesterday. So I thought I'm going to mention him by name. And I'm going to tell them how much I love him, because I really don't want to leave anybody thinking I have some kind of bad taste in my mouth over Amir. I don't see eye to eye with him with 100%. I don't see eye to eye with anyone 100%. I've changed my mind over things since I started this channel. There are things that I've said, nah, I think I was wrong about that. But did I cover that fully? I feel like I left stuff out. But that's what I wanted to talk about today. We should be so encouraged right now, because everything is in play. And I really think this is part of the reason. I think we're so close to the rapture that this stuff is freaking some people out. But man, yeah, I didn't want to mention him by name, but I did, because I think it's important. And I'm hoping you guys are tracking with me regarding this, because I don't mention names. Oh, you guys, how many times have you heard me say, an old pastor used to say, I know what pastor said every single time I say that. I'm not going to say the pastor's name, because that's like hitting the go button. All right, go, where everyone can start criticizing him or sticking up for him and fighting with each other in the comments. I'm not going to do that. I am not pushing that go button. I won't do it. So I always, whenever I say, an old pastor used to say, it's like, I'm not saying that guy's name. There's no way. Because there's not one pastor that's ever lived or is alive today that if I mention their name, half the people will say he's a Freemason, he's terrible, he's a false prophet, and half the people will say, I came to the Lord through that guy, you know. I don't mention names. I don't, you know, I'll mention names sometimes. You know, you've heard me say J.D. Farag. I absolutely adore that man, but they put him down when I mention his name too. So it's like, I'm just done mentioning names, but this was important. I didn't want to beat around the bush because the email that sister sent me was, I just think it was important to address this right now. Okay. What I'm going to do now is I think I'm going to go through a few comments of the day, maybe a testimony. And then I'll share the gospel a little bit, and then we'll call it a day. If anything, news-wise, I didn't see anything. A lot of the normal stuff, Hezbollah, you know. If anything gets crazy, I'll do a video on my second channel. I'm going to do a video on the second channel anyway today, but I'll do something in regards to news if something breaks, all right? This is a testimony from KLW. Oh, it's actually KL Wright. I was saved as a child and grew up in a home that loves Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. Of course, I had my rambunctious teenage years where I tested my parents and grandparents and youth leaders. But the true test of my salvation was about 14 months ago when we lost our 10-year-old daughter suddenly and unexpectedly. I tried to walk away, tried to run away. I was so angry, but the Lord never let me go. He has continued to show me that he loves me and he is here for me as I walk a life I never thought I would. I miss my daughter greatly every day, but I still love Jesus. I'm so thankful that my parents helped me to have a strong foundation of faith and trust. I cannot imagine where I would be without Jesus. His sacrifice of love for us is more than we can comprehend. Some of my favorite verses have been from Job over this past year. His sovereignty over all things. Job 38:4-11. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together? God is the best poet, by the way. Oh, my goodness. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors? When it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud waves must stop. Man, that testimony is powerful. This sister has been following, watching these videos almost since the point when she lost her daughter. She has sent me letters in the mail, and I've seen pictures of the family. And you know what? I think when the rapture happens, it's going to be hard to take my eyes off Jesus, but I'm going to be looking at that family. All right. Let's do a few comments of the day. Yesterday, I talked about how Bank of America is debanking Christians. And this comment was from Patricia. She said, I don't know why, this is funny. I don't know why they're debanking Christians. When we leave, they get to keep all our money. I didn't even think of that. That is so true. Don't debank the Christians. We're about to be raptured. You can have all the money. Take everything. Richard, this is in regards to, I talked about yesterday how some people complain, you're praying with a hat on. That's terrible. You need to take your hat off. And then some people complain, you're praying with your hat off, with an uncovered head. So this is what this comment is about. Doesn't the word say to pray always and to pray ceaselessly, no matter where you are or what you're wearing or what you're doing, pray? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But those people, you know, people that are very legalistic with that kind of stuff. Oh, you can only read this version of the Bible. Oh, you have to be water baptized. Oh, you have to pray without a hat. Oh, you have to pray with a head covering. Oh, you know, Paul said not to despise them. He called them weak, but he also said they're not supposed to despise us for being free in Christ. The free in Christ doesn't mean free to sin. means we're free. We have a peace that surpasses understanding because of what Jesus did for us. You know, but we're not supposed to despise. Paul called them weak, the ones who kind of feel like they just feel like I have to do something to maintain my salvation. Where others are more like, ah, man, thank you, Jesus. I'm comfortable in my skin because you rescued me with your blood. All right, Stacy. It's hard to wrap our brain around sometimes that God gave himself for a creation he created that hates him so that he can spend eternity with those who truly love him. He said in the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. No one should be alone. Not us, not animals, not him. It's beautiful. Yeah, it is beautiful. He's building a forever family. And that's what this past 6,000 years have been about. He's building a forever family. And you have a chance to be in that family. It's miraculous what Jesus did for us. He came here and he put on human flesh and he came from heaven. And the whole reason he came here was to die for our sins, to take care of the sin problem, to shed his own blood. Because like we talked about, the blood of the sacrifices in the temple, are they back in the Old Testament, they covered sin for a year. Jesus is different. Jesus' blood is a once and for all time, once and for all payment. He'll never go up on the cross again. He shed that precious blood, and it's so powerful. That blood is so powerful. It has the power to remove every single sin ever committed by every person ever born. That's how powerful that blood is. He knew he was coming here to die. He knew he was coming here to shed his own blood to fix our problem, the sin problem. So that once we have faith in the blood, that it will wash us white as snow and remove all of our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. And once we have belief that he went to the cross and he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day, we're saved, which means we're born again, which means we get to spend eternity with the one who spoke and nothing became everything. We get to spend eternity with Jesus. Can you imagine? Oh, man. The world, this earth is very broken. Sin broke it. That's why there's earthquakes. That's why there's all kinds of natural disasters. That's how come there's sin. Like, this world is broken, but yet there is beauty in this world that is awe-inspiring sometimes, right? Sometimes you see a sunset. It's just like, oh my goodness. It's so beautiful. But that same God who created everything has been creating a place for us, a dwelling place, a mansion, a room, whatever it is. He's got something prepared just for you if you belong to him. And that's beside. He wants to lavish us with good forever, never ending. Because we chose with our free will to believe in the power of his blood. And we chose to believe in his finished work on the cross. And we admitted that we're sinners that need payment for our sin. And he did it. He paid for it with his blood. And I get to spend eternity. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve eternity. You know what I deserve? Hell. Oh my goodness. Watch my testimony video if you don't think I deserve hell. And please watch it. I deserve hell. But thanks be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I get to spend eternity in paradise because of what he did. But if you hear all this and you still say, Tom, you are one nutty bald guy. I don't believe any of this. Or, no, you know what? I don't want to get too fanatical. I don't want to really trust in the blood. And I'm just going to, you know what? I'm a good person. I'm going to roll the dice with that. You're in a heap of trouble because you're going to find out very quickly that being way more good than bad doesn't save you. The blood of Jesus saves you. Being way more good than bad's not going to get you into heaven. Having faith in the blood of Jesus and believing in his finished work will get you to heaven. He did it all. He paid it all. But if you say, I don't need that, I'm going to take my chances. You're going to face Jesus on Judgment Day. And the word terrifying isn't powerful enough, because I can't imagine that moment, kneeling in heaven before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, oh my goodness, I am in the presence of God. And he looks at you and says, away from me, I never knew you. That gives me, right now, bad chills up my spine. Hearing those words, when you know I'm in the presence of God, and I didn't take the payment for my sin, I said, nope, I don't want that. And he says, away from me, I never knew you. You're kneeling before the God of the universe who says, away from me, I never knew you. And you're like, where am I going now? And you're led off to eternal separation from God, also known as hell. Well, I don't want to believe in a God that would send me to hell. That God sent his only begotten son to die for you, to be tortured for you, and shed blood for you to pay for your sins. But you're saying, I don't want that. So you'll be let off at that moment, and you won't say you're unfair. You're going to say, I remember that video I saw where the guy really laid it out. And I said, nah, I don't need that. I'll take my chances. And this is where it's led me, to eternal separation from God. Outer darkness, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, never-ending awfulness. Take the payment for your sins. He paid for your sins with his blood. All right, I have to share a couple scriptures, because I didn't share any scriptures this entire video, and I can't shut this camera off if I haven't shared the Word of God at all, okay? Let's look at a few salvation verses. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That right there is the gospel in two verses. He died for your sins, and he rose on the third day. He was alive again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What's his grace? It's an unearned gift from God. That's what grace is, an unearned gift. And that's how we're saved. What Jesus did in the cross and the shedding of his blood and his death, burial, and resurrection, it's all grace. It's an unearned gift. He's trying to hand you this gift. We're saved by grace, an unearned gift through faith, through believing in what Jesus did. It's not works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, because God doesn't want any man boasting. When we're in front of Jesus, all of us, 100% of us, who are smart enough to say, oh, Jesus, I'm responding to you, drawing me by the Spirit, and I'm saying yes and amen to your blood and your finished work, we're going to be before Jesus, and all we're going to be doing is praising his name. Nobody's going to talk about their works. Nobody's going to talk about their works, because he says it right there. Not of works, lest any man should boast, because somebody be bragging about it. So how did you do down there on earth? Oh man, I did phenomenal. I did a phenomenal job. That's why I'm here. You really think that's going to be the conversation in heaven? Now, I'll always tell you, works are a beautiful thing when you do them out of love, because you have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you and you're doing works, fruit of the Spirit. Beautiful. You get rewards for that. It's not part of salvation, because we brag about it. You should never be bragging about your works. If you're bragging about your works, that's all. I'll just give you that look. Let's do one more. Romans verses 9 and 10. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He loves you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He paid for your sins with his blood. He wants you for eternity. And you have to make a choice. You either choose Jesus, or by default, you are assigned to the dark side. There's no third option. I wish I could tell you there's an opt-out button where you can just die and go into the ground and have a peaceful sleep forever. But according to the word of God, there is no opt-out button. There's no third option. So choose wisely, because time is short. And I love you guys. Sorry I took so long today to say what I had to say. I hope, I'm praying that what I said was clear enough where people understand, man, keep your eyes on Jesus. All the pieces are coming together. Don't put more importance on one puzzle piece than another. Don't put all your hope in one puzzle piece over another. Put your hope in what the whole, all the puzzle pieces paint a picture of Jesus, the perfect one. Put your hope and trust in Jesus, and he'll take us home soon in his perfect timing. I'm going to shut the camera off, and I'm going to say a prayer for every person who watched this video. And if we're not raptured today, and man, today is a perfectly good day for the rapture. But if we're not, God willing, I will see you guys tomorrow. I love you guys.